Jodie Marsh, how's it going?
Hi. Very good, thank you.
You got a new series coming out then?
Yes, it's an investigative documentary series, and it's quite honestly the best thing I've ever done so far.
Right, okay.
It's really good. I'm really proud of it. There's four shows in the series. Each one is a different topic. There's one, plastic surgery is already aired, and then we've got mail order brides, we've got lying, cheating men, and we've got virgins. And okay. So each one is hilariously funny, outrageously shocking, and a little bit emotional as well. So I'm just warning people, they might cry.
there's some pretty hard-hitting topics.
Yes, virgins especially, because that's all about like sex trafficking in Cambodia, young girls being sold for their virginity. And it's a lot, we talk a lot about female genital mutilation, and it's really hardcore. So it's not, don't be fooled by the title virgins. It's not like a joke thing like the 40-year-old virgin. It's actually really serious and heavy, but there's a lot of light and funny moments in them as well. So it's typical Jodie Marsh. It's like I'm screaming and shouting at people and being overly dramatic, as I always am, and and being quite feisty. So yeah, they're hardcore, but it's amazing, amazing, amazing.
I assume these are topics you didn't necessarily know a lot about. I don't really know anything about, for example, female mutilation.
Yeah.
So did you have to do quite a lot of research to...
Yeah, I mean, whenever I make a show with TLC now, we always sit down together and come up with what we're going to do. And these are topics that were things that I was already interested in and wanted to know more about. So I knew about female genital mutilation and I knew it happened, but I didn't know anything more than that. And of course, sure, then when you start a show like that, you do lots and lots of research and you read up on it and you meet lots of different people and you meet experts on it. And now I know loads about it. And it's actually really, really, really shocking, because I didn't realise that it goes on all over England.
Why is that happening? Is it like a ritual? Or
it's kind of like a tradition. They think that the women need to remain pure, i.e. a virgin. So they basically, without being too graphic and gory, they sew them up. They cut parts of their genitals off and then they sew them up so that they have to remain a virgin, because they physically, it doesn't open.
Right,
they can't,
okay, yeah.
They can't have sex. So, and it's nothing more than a tradition. It's not a religious thing. It's not, you know, it's just an old tradition that for some unknown reason is still happening. Like the men still believe women need to be pure and the women still think it's normal. I think we're in an age now where women are starting to realise it's not normal, and more women are speaking out about it. And certainly I've got women on the show who are openly talking about when it happened to them and how traumatic it was and how it's completely changed their life and ruined their life in many ways. But something I know now is that everywhere you go in life, people are hiding like deep, dark secrets, and you could just never guess until you start doing something like this and opening it up. It is like opening a can of worms, because until you start it, you just don't realise that it's everywhere, it's all around you. When I was filming one of the last shows in America, I got in a taxi at the airport to take me to my hotel, and it was an old African guy driving the taxi, and this was in like Atlanta, in the middle of nowhere in Atlanta in America. He asked what I was doing in America, and I said, oh, I'm filming a show about virginity and FGM, you know, female genital mutilation. And he said, mutilation? Why do you call it that? It's not mutilation, it's circumcision. And I went, what? I went, no, it's mutilation. And we ended up having an argument in the taxi, because he was adamant that women need to have this done.
Yeah.
And I said, but why? And he said, it is so that they don't enjoy sex.
Right.
I was like, what? I went, but you still want to have sex with women, but you don't want them to enjoy it. So you're mutilating them so they don't enjoy it. It doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense.
No, that is twisted, isn't it?
Yeah, but what you learn from that is that all over the world, people do still have these beliefs, and it's really, really hard to change them. Because I ended up having a massive argument with the taxi driver probably not the wisest and safest thing to do when you're in Atlanta on your own in a taxi.
You got to stick up with these things,
but
haven't you?
By then I was too deep into the subject and I was like, I can't sit here and not say something. But the fact is, I'm not going to change that guy's mind. He truly believes the women need to be kept pure. They're not supposed to enjoy sex, and it's not mutilation, it's circumcision, according to him. That's what we're facing the whole time, and that's what I'm now standing up for. I feel like I'm a bit of a women's rights campaigner now, and, you know, I've always been a feminist, but now I'm, like, kind of screaming and shouting and stamping my feet about all different subjects for women because I've just seen such horrors.
You're on a mission now,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I literally am.
Did you have many other fallings out with mail-order brides or...?
Not so much fallings out. I meet a lot of mental people.
Yeah.
And there are, with me, the one thing with me is, and I think people like me for this, or I hope they do, I can't hide on my face what I'm thinking. So if somebody's being a weirdo, my face shows that I think they're weird. And so I do get into quite a lot of, like, confrontations with people where I don't agree with what they're saying and I think they're a bit weird. I can't hide that on my face. So it's, there's not so many major arguments, but there are definitely times when I confront people and put them on the spot and they don't know what to say, or they're kind of talking themselves round in circles and making themselves look worse and worse and worse. And I don't do it intentionally to make them look bad at all, but it's just that I'm trying to get to the bottom of what the truth is. And if I think someone's lying to me or not telling me the full story, like, I keep digging until I get it. And then, so people, yeah, there are quite a few situations where I shout at people.
Okay. Do they shout back as well?
No.
No? That's brilliant, then, isn't it?
They're all scared of me. I shouted at a guy, again, not my wisest move, certainly not my finest moment. I was in a prison interviewing a guy in prison in America, in a hardcore American jail, and I was interviewing him, and I knew he was lying to me, so I started shouting at him and swearing at him, and he did eventually kind of crack and crumble and admitted to what I wanted him to admit to. But yeah, I did lose it a bit then, because I'd been there all day, like, pumping him for information, and he just wasn't telling me what I already knew to be true. So in the end, I did shout at him, which I suppose is quite ballsy, being a girl in an American prison.
But do you think maybe being female kind of sometimes helps in those situations, because they're not going to get violent? Well, you would hope they wouldn't.
You hope they don't, yeah. We have had some dangerous situations, certainly. I've been in situations where I've been scared. Not so much that the guy's getting violent, but just scary places we've been and where you don't feel safe. You know, you feel like, if something happens to us here now, no one's even going to know. We're in the middle of nowhere. We were filming in Jamaica last week for the next lot of shows, and there was a guy, we were in the middle of nowhere in Jamaica. Oh my God, it was so scary. And there was basically a guy with a massive machete, and he was sat right next to us, and he was getting irate because of us filming. And then we all got bundled into a van and driven off. But for our own safety, as in... they didn't kidnap us. No, like, literally, this guy just kind of come running, bundled us all in this van and went, go, 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 you've got to get out, you've got to get out, because he thought the machete guy was going to, like, come and start chopping us up. So we've definitely been in scary situations.
Yeah.
And also, at the risk of sounding really, really big-headed, but it helps me being quite a sexy girl, because I can almost charm things out of people.
Sure, yeah.
Certainly when I'm interviewing guys, I can flirt a little bit, flutter my eyelashes, and then get them to say what I want to know. The only downside is I do get hit on quite a lot by the people I'm interviewing.
Really? does that push? Like,
most of them ask for my number.
Really?
Yeah. And it's really awkward. So all the film crew are always aware of it, and there's always someone who steps in to rescue me, because it gets to that crucial point where they go, so, any chance of your number? And then I'm like left kind of open-mouthed, don't really know what to say, because I don't want to give them my number, but equally I don't want to just say no in their face, because it's, you know, I hate being like rejecting people.
Can you not just do that age-old trick of
giving them a fake one
with one digit different? Or
probably. I always feel really awkward. Yeah, I feel really awkward because I'm so honest. I'm the sort of person that'd end up giving them my number even though I don't want to. because I just feel too bad.
Obviously, you're quite a people person, so to some extent, a lot of this is coming quite naturally to you.
Yeah.
But situations like you just described where you're getting thrown into the back of a van, no one is prepared for that.
No,
right?
It's just, you just have to deal with each situation as it happens. We got held hostage in a brothel in Germany once because they didn't like what we were filming, and we got locked in. They took all our camera equipment and locked us in a brothel, and that was probably scarier than Jamaica, I'd say. That was, at that moment, I honestly thought, are we ever going to get out of here? Because they were so irate at us, and there was only four of us. It was me and three guys, and my crew, it was quite a young crew. So there was one guy that was my age, and the other two were like in their early 20s. So it was like, it wasn't like, you know, an old experienced crew who've kind of been there and done it. It was like this young, trendy crew, and then there's us locked in this brothel. You just have to be sensible, use your common sense about it. And, you know, on that occasion, we all used the power of speech to get ourselves out of it, because we just talked and talked and talked until we somehow got through to them. And actually what the guy did, it was quite funny, because the director of the show, who was my age, said to the guy who'd locked us in, he just said, listen, like, Jodie, you don't understand. Jodie's like an A-list celebrity in England. Like, I'm obviously not. But he was like, she's an A-list celebrity. You know, if anything happens to her, you'll have 200 people descend upon this brothel and you'll be in so much trouble and blah, blah, blah. The actual truth of it was, no one knew where we were. The production office was shut back in England.
Really?
It was a Sunday. Nobody knew we were there. We could have been in all heaps of trouble, and actually we could have been dead for 2 days before anyone even knew we were missing. But yeah, the director was just like, you don't understand. There's 200 people that know where we are right now. If we're not out of here to make a phone call by an hour's time, you know, you're going to have people descending upon this brothel to get Jodie. Her safety's paramount, blah, blah, blah. And that was actually what got us out of there, was us all staying calm and him convincing this guy that I was like Angelina Jolie.
You've said, I read an interview last week, I think, that you said you're a better reporter than Louis Theroux and Ross Kemp put together.
Can I explain?
Yes.
Okay, because when you just read that headline, I read that headline this morning, funny enough. Louis Theroux is really, really sarcastic. He's great at what he does. I love all his shows. I love the subject matter, but he's really sarcastic. Because he's so clever, he tricks his contributors into a false sense of security with him. Then he makes them look stupid because he's laughing at them and making the viewer laugh at them, but they don't even know it.
Yeah.
And it really upsets me because obviously I'm an anti-bullying campaigner. And to me, that's cringe TV. That's painful TV. It's almost a form of bullying. And I really don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I can't watch his shows for that reason.
Really?
Yeah, because when I interview people, even if I'm having an argument with someone, it's honest. It's not, I'm not trying to make them look bad. I'm not trying to make them look stupid. I just want to know what the truth of that subject is. So I never sit there laughing at a person. If I'm laughing, I'm laughing with them. Or I'm laughing because they said something funny, which is acceptable to laugh. Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't go in and take the mickey out of people where they don't even realise I'm doing that. I think it's completely unacceptable. So that explains Louis Theroux. Ross Kemp, again, I love him. I love what he does. I love his shows. His subject matters are second to none. I think he's incredible at what he does. However, he never shows any emotion on screen. He's very, very wooden. And you never, ever get a feel for his own thoughts and opinions within a show. So he literally is just like a news reporter going in to do a news report. With me, I cry with the contributors, I laugh with them, I scream and shout with them, I cuddle them. There's every range of emotion, and I'm right there with them. When they're telling me something, I am right there feeling their pain. And I just think that's what those two guys don't do. It's where I've stepped in, and now people watching my shows, you will see the difference between their style of reporting and mine, because mine is so much more real and in touch with the people.
Sure.
That
makes
sense?
Okay. Yeah. But there's room for everyone. There's room for all three.
And
there's
of
quite
course.
A sort of niche market for you to fill here.
Exactly.
Those two are
because I feel like I'm doing something that no one's ever done before. I almost do feel like I've created a new genre, which is like investigative journalism, but with compassion and love.
Well, on that note, Jodie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Everyone, when's the show going out? Is it Tuesday?
It's every Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It's every Tuesday, 10 p.m. TLC.
Final question. Can I have your phone number?
Absolutely not. Speak to my PA.
So you've learned now. You never need to give your phone number out again. You've mastered it. It was perfect. Excellent. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything. And yeah, we'll speak to you again.